Good morning, everyone. It's the last Sunday in Easter, and so we say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's exciting as we move into the season of Pentecost. But before we do that, before we jump from Easter to Pentecost and then on through, there's one day that some churches, including my own experience, tend to neglect a little bit, and that's the day of the Ascension. And Thursday, this past Thursday, was the celebration of the Ascension of Jesus from earth to heaven. So as the contemporary camp song goes, he came from heaven and earth to show the way, and then from the earth to the cross, and then from the cross to the grave to the sky. So he goes from heaven back to heaven via earth. And so the Ascension is one of those days that we want to make sure that we pay attention to, because it's so important, not just for following the life of Jesus and his story, but for us. Because without the Ascension day, without that day when Jesus sends his disciples to Jerusalem and all of the other stuff that happens after, without that, there's no me and you. Without the Ascension, there's no church. Without the Ascension, there's no church on earth. The church may have been very local at that point, and it would have remained local without the Ascension. So we're going to read part of the Ascension reading from Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read where Jesus gives his disciples the marching orders that they're to follow. So Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 4, and while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heavens? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Ascension is the day when Jesus goes from his resurrected glory, being with the disciples, to ascending to go back to the Father, to heaven, to where the Father is. And the reason I said without this Ascension, there's no us. The church would still be localized if it even existed at all. So the Ascension is so important because when Jesus decided, or when God decided to send Jesus as his son to be incarnated, to take on human flesh, to dwell among us, as the Gospels say, Jesus gave up something or set aside something. He set aside what we call his omnipresence, his ability to be everywhere all at the same time, his ability to be present everywhere. So when he set that aside and became localized, when he became located, as Dr. Nagel would say, in physical incarnational form, he set aside that omnipresence. He chose locations, Bethlehem to be born, Nazareth to grow up, Galilee to do his ministry, Capernaum to call his home base, Jerusalem to celebrate the festivals, and then to be crucified and die and rise again and ascend. All of those, when somebody would ask, where is Jesus, they could find him most of the time. If he hadn't gone to a deserted place to pray, they could find him. He was located somewhere. When we read the Gospels, when we hear the Word of God, we say, all right, where is Jesus when he's doing this? Where is he in his ministry? Where is he located? Is he in the fishing boat? Or is he walking on the water? Or is he in the home of a Pharisee dining? Or is he at a wedding feast in Cana? Or is he in his own hometown of Nazareth? Where is Jesus? We can locate him. We can find him in the scriptures. We can see where he is. And that's the only place he'll be. See, that's the thing. That's the only place he'll be when we read those scriptures and we read where Jesus was. At the time, that was the only place that Jesus was. Now, that's not to say that the Godhead, you know, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, wasn't still omnipresent. But Jesus, the incarnated Jesus, was located in a specific place. And that's the only place you could find him. He was located with specific people. See, the omnipresence means that he can be with anybody, at any time, anywhere. But when he was incarnated, when he was born, when he was physically enfleshed in human flesh and walking among people, he was always with specific people, and only the people that he chose to be with. He was with his disciples. He was with Mary. He was with Joseph. He was in the temple. He was in the synagogue with the Pharisees. He was in the boat with the disciples. He was in Zacchaeus' home with Zacchaeus. He's always located in a specific place with specific people. And again, that's the only place that you'd find him. You couldn't find him elsewhere if that's where he was. If he was in Bethany, he was only in Bethany. If he was with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he wasn't with anybody else or everybody else. See, that's the incarnation. That's the beauty of God becoming flesh, is that he was touchable, he was reachable, he could be found. But since his incarnation and since his death and resurrection and ascension, that touchable Jesus isn't so touchable. And I think some people have hang-ups with this. I know some people, I know myself sometimes have hang-ups with that concept of Jesus being omnipresent, that Jesus is everywhere, he's in my heart. We have all of these things that we say about Jesus, and yet it's really hard to understand, and especially since we sort of pass by the ascension without giving it too much of a thought. Even more so this year. But the ascension, see, reminds us of, as Jesus is with his disciples for the last time, that he ascends to heaven to be with the Father, to sit at his right hand, but to regain his omnipresence. He picks it back up. He had kind of set it aside when he was living with us, but he picks it back up again, and he becomes omnipresent. He gets that ability again to be everywhere. So how does he do that? It's not just some weird, you know, mythical, mystical thing. He does it even in a real way. So he's got his disciples, and he says, you stay here in Jerusalem, and then when the Holy Spirit comes, you are going to now be you. Disciples are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You are going to be my spokespeople. You are going to take my message, and not just my message, you are going to take me to the ends of the earth. You're going to take me, because I promised that where two or three are gathered, I'm with them. He said, I will be with you to the very end of the age. He didn't mean that in some sort of just in your head or in good memories. He means, yes, he's with you. And we've been talking about this since the shutdown and since our shelter at home, that even though we're not here in church, that Jesus is with you. Well, he is with you, not again in just some mystical way. He is truly with you. He's there, just as he's here. And see, this is the ascension thing, is because before the ascension, he could only be there or here. He couldn't be there and here. But Jesus is with me, and he is with you. So Jesus sends his disciples out to the end of the earth to carry the message of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, and the presence of Christ. He says, take it with you. Take me with you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives them that power, that boldness. The Holy Spirit is the one who latches on through faith to Jesus, so that when we go someplace, we know because of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is right along with us. So does that mean now that Jesus doesn't locate himself in specific places? No, that means he locates himself in every specific place. And this is probably even harder to understand. That Jesus now locates him in every specific place. That's why that we as Lutherans, we can say that Jesus is truly present in the Lord's Supper. We can say he's truly present with us in the body and blood, in the bread and wine. He is truly present. But does that mean he's only truly present here at Grace in Eugene at a specific time? Well, what about all of the other churches around the world that are celebrating the Lord's Supper? Does that mean he's not with them? No. See, because now the ascended Christ can be with us here at Grace in Eugene. He can be with those who are celebrating the supper down in Florida. He can be with those who celebrate the supper in Africa and in Asia and Europe and wherever Christians gather to celebrate the supper. Jesus can be there, not just again, in some weird, I remember Jesus way, but there, truly present, omnipresent with us in the supper. So without the ascension, like I said at the beginning, without the ascension, there's no me and you as Christians. There's no church around the world. There's only church local. Because if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, then when he ascended, that would be it. Or even after he died, that would have been it. The church would have stopped, would have gone no further than that little area outside of Jerusalem, that little area in Israel. It would have stopped. But since the ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit and the sending of the disciples, now Jesus can be present everywhere. And all the time. That's the ascension. That's why we celebrate it. That's why it's so exciting to be able to share the gospel with people here, because Jesus makes it possible. I know we say technology makes it possible, but it's really Jesus who makes it possible. Because even with technology, we can share all sorts of messages that don't have Jesus in them. But it's Jesus that makes this message possible. It's Jesus that is present with you, present with me, at the same time, in the same way. As you're hearing this, Jesus is present with you. You didn't have to be here to have Jesus present with you. You didn't have to come to the supper to have Jesus present with you. He's present with you because he says he is. He's present with you because the ascended Christ is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. That's the amazing thing about ascension. And so as we close the Easter season with this, the proclamation of the ascension, as we close the Easter service, getting ready for Pentecost and the lighting of the fuse and the church around the world of all time, then we celebrate this. We say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We celebrate. So I hope that you celebrate the ascension too. I hope that you know that because of the ascension of Christ, he is omnipresent with you. He is always with you. And wherever you go, he's with you. Not again, just in some spiritual way, in some weird sense, but in a very real way. He's with you. The Holy Spirit makes it so. The message of the disciples that was handed down from generation to generation, that contained Jesus, that held that Jesus out to everybody, that makes it so. So as we slowly but surely get back to doing church as a group, let's not rush. Let's not be afraid. Let's do this with power and self-control and all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's do this with a sure and certain knowledge of the presence of Christ with us, no matter where we are, no matter what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.